today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
But increasingly, it seems to me that there is an increasing conflict between the Word of God and our contemporary society, our laws, the attitudes of those in the media and in authority. There is this increasing conflict between the light of God and the darkness of our world.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Our culture is increasingly hostile towards the gospel. And today on The Verdict, we're considering what our response should be in the face of opposition. You may have even encountered criticism from friends or family. What should you do? And how can we continue to share our faith? Let's find out as we join Pastor John Monroe for the second part of his message, titled Confronting the World.
In our increasingly dark culture, we're reminded by our Lord Jesus that we are the light of the world. Praise God, that light can never be extinguished. For 2,000 years, the light of the gospel has shone in the darkness and keeps on shining. Down through the centuries, the church has been persecuted, ridiculed, imprisoned, and faithful followers have been martyred for their faith. But the light keeps shining. If you are an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, you have the privilege of continuing to be the light of the world. And we should not be surprised when there's opposition as we seek to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Let's continue today learning how we are to respond to hostility and persecution. Sometimes, when people are ignorant, when they constantly reject the gospel, there's a time to stop. Not because you're trying to escape persecution, but there is a time sometimes to stop. To continue to pray and ask in the future that God in His grace would open a door so that this person who once was very opposed may be open to the gospel. And sometimes it is wise to move on. You say to give up on someone? No, not to give up on them, but to move on rather than to continue to receive abuse. Acts 13 may be an example of Paul and Barnabas. They're in Antioch. Acts 13, verse 44, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, fifth book of the New Testament, chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. How wonderful. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Now, Paul is an apostle, giving the truth of God, proving his case from the Old Testament, and they try to contradict him. So don't be surprised when people try to contradict you. You're not the apostle Paul. And they reviled him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, I love this, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light, hear this, a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. You don't receive it, therefore we're going to turn and proclaim the message to the Gentiles. Meantime, we are to be courageous. Notice Matthew 10, if you've got your Bible there, verse 23, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Glorious event. We proclaim the gospel. We keep doing it. We go, as it were, from town to town. Is that going to continue? No. The Son of Man, a reference to himself, is going to come. Meantime, until that happens, this is the reality. As you share your faith, there is the reality of persecution. You say, well, that's very discouraging. Not really, because listen to the response. How are we to respond? What are we to do with this reality that as you go and share your faith, there's going to be opposition. You say, well, I don't fancy opposition. I'm just going to pull back. No, that's not the case at all. You're to continue to share your faith. Think of the response. Verse 26 through 42. So, have no fear of them. You get it? Don't be afraid. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and when you hear whispered, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You following this? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now I read verses 34 through 37, verse 38, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. I don't have time to go through all these verses one by one, obviously, this morning, but think of it, big picture. What is the response that I'm to have when I'm told to be a light and there's opposition? I'm told not to be afraid as I share my faith. Did you notice back to verse 19? When they deliver you over, do not be anxious. So you're arrested because you're here illegally worshiping God, let's say. You're taken before the judge. What are you going to say? Hey, don't be anxious at all. You say, I am. Don't be anxious. Why? How you're to speak or what you're to say, for you, what you say will be given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Haven't you found? Surely you have if you're a follower of Jesus. Haven't you found? In the time of your deepest despair, in the midst of the worst problem and situation of your life, isn't it the case that God reveals himself to you? He gives you a peace which passes all understanding. He assures you that he is with you. Here is the promise of God. Here's a picture. I'm before the governor because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, John, don't be anxious. Don't even worry what you're going to say, because when that time comes, I'm going to give you the exact words. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide you. Have you experienced this? I hope you have, when you've been witnessing to someone. Perhaps you're a little anxious. You feel, well, I don't have all of the answers to all of the questions which this hostile person may be. That's true. None of us have all the answers. But remember, we have the Holy Spirit. And isn't it wonderful that as we're talking to someone, the Holy Spirit can bring a verse to our mind, an illustration, a point. I've experienced that. It's incredible. You know, God is helping me here. Does God want you to be a light? Of course he does. That person is intimidating. I understand it. Your father is intimidating. It's tough to speak to him. That professor at college is very supercilious and you feel so inferior. Don't be anxious. Share your faith. Draw on the wisdom of God, and you will be amazed at how God will use you in the most difficult of circumstances. Why? One word of truth is greater than the world of lies and deception. Our enemy is the father of lies, the father of deception. And as you share your faith, one thing that you must try to do is to share something from this book. You say, I don't know the Bible too well. Well, you need to start reading and studying it. We can help you with that. Read the Bible. But even if you're a young believer and don't know too much, you know that God loves us. You know that Christ came. Can you quote John 3:16? Can you tell them of God's mighty love? Can you point them to the cross? Yes, you can. And can you tell them that Christ is risen? It's not our message, it's the gospel of God. And three times in verses 26 through 31, Jesus tells us in these circumstances not to fear. Verse 26, so have no fear of them. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Verse 31, fear not therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You're afraid of people, don't be afraid of them, be afraid of God. Because all the worst that our enemy can do is to kill us. And while they can kill our body, Jesus is saying, they can't kill your soul. Don't fear that person. No, fear God, who is able to put soul and body in hell forever. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? You're saying that stuff, that's the teaching of Jesus. Why is it, I ask you, the apostles, after being such an ordinary group of people, one of them doubting the resurrection, one of them, their leader, denying the Lord three times, all of them abandoning the Lord, how is it that just days after the resurrection, they can go and with great boldness preach the gospel and in a sense turn the world upside down? How did that happen? These are not great people in and of themselves. We saw that last week. Ordinary men, fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, a doubting Thomas. What happened to them? They saw the risen Christ. They knew the reality of eternity, that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. How is it that our brothers and sisters down through the centuries have stood? Some of them have been burnt at the stake. Some of them have been stoned to death. How is it that they can stand, these men and women of faith, and not deny Christ? Why? Because of the eternal reality they believed. They believed there was a hell, and they believed there was a heaven. And that whatever the devil can do, he cannot take from you your salvation. He cannot separate you from your union with our Lord Jesus Christ. That our Savior gives us eternal life and we shall never perish. Don't be afraid of people, says Jesus. No, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I wonder sometimes if we believe, really believe in the gospel. Do you really believe John 3:16? Let me tell you again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, what a glorious promise. It is a glorious promise. And if you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him today as your Savior. But implicit in John 3:16 is this, that if I do not believe, I will perish in hell forever. During the 17th century in Scotland, there were what was called the Scottish Covenanters. They were persecuted for their faith, and they were persecuted particularly by a man, John Graham of Claverhouse. And he was looking for a particular man, one of the leaders, a man called Mr. Douglas. And he came to the home of Mr. Douglas, and he couldn't find him. And he searched and he searched, and there was Mr. Douglas's little boy, Jamie Douglas, and Claverhouse was pretty sure that the wee boy knew where his father was hiding. And so he said to the little boy, where's your dad? And the little boy refused to speak. And so Claverhouse picked up the little boy, dangled him over a deep, deep cliff, and said to him, where is your dad? The little boy said, I'm not saying. Claverhouse said to the little boy, look down, see how deep it is. And the little boy who knew his Bible said, yes, but not as deep as hell. Not as deep as hell. Fear not those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. My dear brother, my dear sister, if you're an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus is saying with these wonderful words that we love about the sparrows, that your heavenly Father is watching over you and cares for you. That God's care for you is to the most intimate detail of your life and your person. Did you notice verse 30? For even the hairs of your head are all numbered. That is incredible, incredible care. I love my wife. I'm interested in most of what she does, but I've never sat down and don't intend to number the hairs of her head. I mean, my interest in my wife doesn't extend to counting the numbers of hair on her head. I do know that when we fell in love, I had a great head of hair, and she's cut my hair ever since, and so I have wondered about what she's done to me. The hairs of your head are numbered. I heard the story of the man who was bald. Please don't make jokes about people who are bald. We are very, very sensitive. So people think, you know, if you're bald, you can make jokes. I mean, you can't make jokes about someone with a big nose or big ears, but you can make a fool of someone who's bald. Anyhow, there was this man who only had two hairs on his head, and he cultivated them. And he grew them long and long, and then he kind of curled them around the top of his head. Have you seen this? And he plastered them down with some kind of hair lotion. Now, when he went swimming or in a windy day, it was a little embarrassing to have these two... My wife is laughing. To have two hairs out there. But anyhow, one morning, he woke up, and to his great dismay, the two hairs were on the pillow. And he says, oh no, I'm bald. So sometimes it's easy to count the hairs of your head, but the point is this. God knows how many hairs you've got. God knows when a sparrow falls. You're driving along, you hit a little bird, you look back in your mirror and you see it fluttering on the road, and for about 5 seconds you feel kind of bad about it, right? Sorry, little bird, you're dead. What does Jesus say? Not one sparrow, although two are sold for a penny, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. What is the point? The point is there's a very obvious point, that this great God, as you go and you serve him and you're sharing your faith, and yes, there's hostility, and yes, you sometimes are afraid, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious, don't be afraid, I'm with you, I know you, I love you, even to the most intimate detail of your life that no one else knows about. But God loves me. I'm loved by my wife, I'm loved by my son, I'm loved by you, at least I hope I am, but that doesn't compare with the love of God. That God's love for me is greater than any other human being. The person in this universe who loves you the most, that love is small compared with the love of God. And so as you go, what are you afraid about? What are you anxious about? God is watching over you. There's every single situation about it. Nothing can harm you apart from your Father. If he watches over the fall of a sparrow, how much more is he interested in those he's redeemed by his blood, who are his joint heirs with Christ, who will be with him for all of eternity? Of course he loves us. Of course he cares for us. Therefore, do not be afraid and share your faith with boldness. Will you do that? Verses 32 and 33 tell us not to deny Christ, but to be open. It's one of the reasons we have baptisms, isn't it? Brothers and sisters openly confessing their faith, not living in the shadows, not secret disciples, but saying, I love Christ and I want the whole world to know that the most important thing about me is that I love Jesus Christ. And as you go, think of the blessings people receive. Jesus said in these last two verses, 14, 42, to receive a prophet, a righteous person, or a little one is to receive Christ himself. Seemingly trivial little deeds done in the name of Christ reap great rewards when they're done for Jesus. A cup of cold water given to a disciple. Truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You think of the opposition? Hey, it's small. It's just for time. Soon all of us will be in eternity. Can I say to you, plead with you, make sure your loyalty to Jesus is the top loyalty of your life. Listen to verses 38 and 39. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Today, will you take up your cross and follow Jesus? If you've never done that, will you do that? Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. What it is to find your life? To have yourself at the center of your life. It's all about you, your career, your possessions, your friends, your happiness. If you do that, you'll lose your life. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Lose your life for Jesus. Students, you hear me? Follow Christ. Seek first his kingdom. You'll never regret it. And by doing that, you will reap rich rewards and the joy of the Lord. No greater joy than telling others about Jesus. Yes, the darkness is intensifying. Yes, the opposition is real, but we're on the winning side. What are we to do? Go boldly this week, shining as lights in the darkness, telling people that Jesus saves. There's no greater message. There's no greater privilege. Share your faith. Be a light in the dark world. Help us, Father, to do just that, we pray. For those outside of Christ, may they look to Christ and be saved. And help us, Father, to be a church filled with the Spirit, spiritually bold as we shine for Jesus in this world. We ask it in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a message titled Confronting the World. John will return with his closing remarks in just a moment, so keep listening. With all the frustration and confusion and division in our world today, many people are struggling to find peace and security. Questions about salvation, judgment, right and wrong, and why it all matters seem to be mounting. That's why John just wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security: Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn a bit of John's personal testimony as he walks through Scripture to give you a better understanding of what it means to be saved and answer some very real questions you may have about doubt and faith. This new booklet is completely free by mail or download. Request your copy today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And before we close, we invite you to play a part this new year in sharing these daily biblical messages. Your generous contributions will help us give the gift of God's Word to new listeners all around the world. You can donate whatever amount God leads you to give by visiting our website today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, you'll also find details for being a part of our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. No matter where you're listening from, you're invited to join us on Sundays via live stream. Again, just visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? I'm praying that you will be bold as you share your faith. We are never to be harsh or judgmental, but rather we are to be gracious and always looking to the Lord for his help. So don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. Pray today that the Lord will open a door for you to tell someone about the Lord Jesus. What a privilege we have to shine as lights in the darkness. So keep shining for Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.